May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The story of the feeding of the 5,000 is so familiar that many of us could almost recite it from memory. Jesus takes 5 loaves and 2 fish, blesses them, breaks them, and somehow, astonishingly, feeds a vast crowd with baskets of leftovers gathered afterwards. It is a story that has nourished Christian imagination for centuries. Preachers have drawn out themes of wonder, generosity, Eucharistic symbolism, and what can happen if you share your lunch. But today I want us to look at the story through a different lens, the lens of haves and have-nots. Because this miracle does not happen in a vacuum. It happens in a moment of deep grief, deep injustice, and deep human need. Just before this miracle, John the Baptist has been murdered, executed to satisfy the whim of a manipulative ruler and the vengeance of a woman who resented his prophetic truth-telling. John, Jesus' cousin, the fiery desert preacher, the one who prepared the way. They may not have been close in the everyday sense, but spiritually they were bound together. John's ministry was the overture to Jesus' symphony. And now John is gone. Jesus must have been devastated. Jesus withdraws to a deserted place. He seeks solitude. He seeks space. He seeks the quiet where grief can breathe. This is Jesus being utterly human. When we are hurting, we often need to step back, to be alone, to let the dust settle. Jesus does the same. He honours his own need for rest and lament. But the crowds follow him. They walk around the lake, determined, needy, desperate. They are have-nots, those without stability, without security, without healing, without hope. They come because Jesus is their lifeline. And Jesus, seeing them, has compassion. His grief does not harden him. His sorrow does not make him self-protective. He steps ashore and begins to heal. The disciples speak for us. They speak for the tired, the anxious, the overstretched, the ones who feel they have nothing left to give. Send them away, they say. It's late. They're hungry. We can't do this. And they are the haves. Those with at least a little food, a little security, a little sense of control. And they are afraid of losing even that. They are afraid of being asked for more than they can give. And Jesus responds with a challenge that cuts right to the heart of Christian discipleship. Not, let's pray about it. Not, let's form a committee. But, you feed them. And the disciples look down at their hands and see almost nothing. 5 loaves, 2 fish, a tiny picnic, a tiny resource, a tiny offering. They see scarcity. Jesus sees possibility. How often do we share the disciples' mentality? This is mine. I don't have enough to share. Someone else should deal with this. How often do we think, I have, I do not wish to become, I have not. And especially when we are overwhelmed or stressed or anxious about the future, the ability to have compassion and generosity becomes squeezed. The world is full of have-nots. People without homes, without food, without safety, without justice, without hope. And increasingly the gap between the haves and the have-nots is widening. We see it globally, nationally, locally. We see it in our communities, our schools, and on our streets. And there's a spiritual danger in being a have. The danger is not wealth itself. Scripture never condemns having resources. The danger is clinging. Clinging to security or comfort. Clinging to the illusion that what we have is ours alone. And our compassion dries up. The disciples had the ability to get more food later. They were not in danger of starvation. But they were in danger of becoming closed-hearted. They were in danger of seeing the crowd as a burden rather than as beloved children of God. And we, like the first disciples, often feel overwhelmed. We feel tired. We feel anxious. We feel that our resources, our time, our money, our energy, are too small to make any difference. We can feel that in our church sometimes. But Jesus says, give what you have. Not what you don't have. Not what you wish you had. Not what you think you should have. But give me what you have. Even in the midst of tiredness and anxiety, and even when you feel overwhelmed. Give me your loaves and fish, and let me worry about the rest. Jesus asks the disciples and us to loosen our grip, to let go of the fear that says, if I give, I will not have enough. To let go of the instinct that says, this is their problem, not mine. To let go of the temptation to send the needy away. Compassion is not a feeling, it is a discipline. It is something we choose even when we are tired, even when we are grieving, even when we feel we have nothing left. And this is what Jesus models. He is grieving, yet he has compassion. We are called to do likewise. This does not mean ignoring our own needs. Jesus sought solitude first. He honoured his grief. But when the moment came, he allowed compassion to rise. Compassion is often inconvenient. But compassion is also transformative. It transforms the giver and the receiver. It transforms scarcity into abundance. It transforms fear into trust. It transforms communities. And that is what the miracle models, transformation. The disciples handing over a small amount of food results in a feast, not a meagre meal, a feast. People are filled to overflowing, Christmas lunch full, abundance full. St. Ignatius of Loyola captures this beautifully. Teach us, good Lord, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labour and not to ask for any reward, except that of knowing that we do thy will. This prayer is not about reckless self-sacrifice which leads to burnout. It is about trust. Trust that God sees. Trust that God multiplies. Trust that God honours every act of compassion. So what does this mean for us? It means asking ourselves, what do I have? What can I give? Where is Jesus asking me to loosen my grip? Where is compassion calling me to act? It might be money. It might be time. It might be prayer. It might be listening. It might be standing alongside someone who feels alone. Whatever it is, Jesus says, give me what you have. And when we do, miracles can happen. Look at what you've achieved over the last 5 years. In Ottery, you've grown in number, welcoming lots and lots of new people into our church family, including many families and children. You've grown in ability. We have teams of people now skilled in safeguarding, finance, pastoral care and building maintenance. New people doing catering, singing in our choir, cleaning our church. You've raised tens of thousands of pounds, both to now pay your common fund in request in full, but also to fund the Shine a Light appeal. And all of this has come through individual people saying, I could give that, or I could do that little thing. I could be part of that team. Small offerings that God has transformed in his goodness and grace into the flourishing community we see today, with the potential through our Under One Roof project to do and be even more. I encourage you to hold on to that willingness to give what you have, to share your loaves and fish, even when things might feel a bit stressful or anxious, to continue to be a church where it's okay to be sad, it's okay to own our feelings, and it's okay to share our small haves, trusting in our generous and bountiful God, who can transform even the smallest gift into a feast. Amen.